Episode 79, The City of Ai. Welcome to the History of the Bible. In the last episode, we talked about the Battle of Jericho, from how the commander of the Lord's army told Joshua how to do the siege of the city, to the walls of the city falling down. We would even look at how evidence found in modern times points directly to what the Bible says as being true. Now that the Israelites had defeated their first enemy within the borders of the land of Canaan, it was time to move on to the next city. However, an issue would come up that would cost the Israelites. When the Israelites attacked the city of Jericho, instruction was given not to plunder the city whatsoever. Everything was to be burned and killed. Only the various metals were to be kept and placed into the treasury of the Lord. None of the soldiers were to take or keep anything that was found within the city. And Jericho was well situated geographically for the trading route coming into the land of Canaan. So the city did have possessions that would have been of extreme value, but it was all to be burned. However, the Israelites violated these instructions, and for that, there would be a cost. After the victory over the city of Jericho, the next city was to be Ai. The city was a small one located northwest of Jericho in the mountainous region. However, the city of Ai is still debated today. Today, it is thought that the modern-day site called Etel is where Ai once stood. To give a little bit of background on Etel, it was a city that was about 27.5 acres in the early Bronze Age, between the years 3000 and 2860 BC. However, evidence shows that the city was only occupied until 2400 BC, when it was destroyed and abandoned. The site would be unoccupied until the beginning of the Iron Age, around 1220 and 1125 BC, when it would be occupied by a people that lived as most Israelites did. However, it was resettled by an unwalled village that was about 2.5 acres. It would then be abandoned around 1550 BC and never resettled. This brings up some issues regarding Etel site and the Battle of Ai. It's believed that Joshua and the Israelites came into the land of Canaan sometime during the 1400s and 1200s BC, depending on which date is believed to have been used for the time of Exodus. So one, the dates are off for the destruction of modern-day Etel and when the Israelites' conquest began. The other issue is the size of the city. As we'll come to find out, Joshua sent men to spy out on the city of Ai after the Battle of Jericho. These men came back and reported that the whole army of Israel was not needed to conquer the city, but rather only 3,000 men were needed. However, if the city of Ai were 27.5 acres, it would be a lot bigger than Jericho, in which the whole army was used for Jericho, and it was a city about 9 acres. Other things come up trying to define Etel as Ai. Surveying the land nearby and whether it lines with the Bible. Was there a valley to the north or not? Was there a hill on the north side? Then, there's the conversation of being near the city of Bethel. Bethel and Ai are said to be twin cities, in Joshua 12 verse 9, or beside one another. However, the two modern-day sites believed for Bethel and Ai are not near each other in a way that one would think. The distance between the two cities feels too immense to consider them next to each other. Most scholars believe that the city located at modern-day Etel was destroyed around 2400 BC. However, Many scholars believe that Etal isn't the actual city of biblical Ai. Rather, it is believed that the actual city of Ai has not been found at all. Scholars who believe that Etal as Ai are based on the thought that the biblical city of Bethel has been found. Without getting too much into which city is believed or not believed to be Bethel, many scholars feel that the actual city of Bethel has not been found either. And with the city of Ai needing to be near the city of Bethel, when Bethel isn't found, it makes it more difficult to agree on whether the city of Etal is Ai. However, with just the two reasons of the size and the date Etal was destroyed, it doesn't match with the description that the Bible gives. The scholars that hold that Etal is Ai also believe that the biblical story of Joshua conquering the city is just a myth because it didn't happen within the correct time period. However, holding to the idea that the Bible is true would cause many scholars to look elsewhere for the biblical city of Ai, and Bethel for that matter. There is another location that scholars have proposed as being the true location of Ai to the west of Etal. This city is Kirbet el-Makara. This proposed location matches the biblical description of the regional landmarks as it says in Joshua 7 and 8. Here, it has been found a fortified city that dates back to the late Bronze Age, the time Joshua and the Israelites were in the land of Canaan. And it shows evidence of a major fire within the city that caused destruction. In addition to this, it has a gate on the north side of the city. This is important because later when Joshua comes to attack the city, he attacks it from the front side, which was the north, where the gates were located. And a good amount of pottery that dates to the time of Joshua and the late Bronze Age has been found here as well. At Kirbet el-Makara, there have been discovered walls 12 to 13 feet wide, about 3.5 meters. As for the size of the city, it was a lot smaller than any of the other cities. The reason that the spies came back to Joshua and told him that only 3,000 men of the army were needed to take the city was because of the size of the city was less than 3 acres, less than a third of what Jericho was. Archaeological findings have found that the city itself shows evidence of being burned by fire, which, as we'll find out, was the case when Joshua conquered the city. As far as landmarks within the region, we'll get more into that in a later episode. But as for now, since the discovery of the city, it has begun breaking down the thought that archaeology and the Bible don't align with each other. We'll talk more about the archaeological evidence and the Battle of Ai when we get to the episode of the battle, but for now, we must go back to what happened after the Battle of Jericho. As mentioned, the Israelites destroyed the city of Jericho, and everything inside the city was to be destroyed as well. This included anything of value. Only the different metals were to be kept, so that they could be placed into the Lord's treasury. However, these instructions were not followed. When the battle at Jericho was finished, Joshua sent men to the city of Ai. When these spies returned, they said that the whole army was not needed, but only 2,000 to 3,000 men, as it says in Joshua 7, verses 3 and 4. So Joshua listened to the men who had spied the land and only sent about 3,000 men. But when the Israelites came against the city, the men of Ai attacked the Israelites and chased them off. In the pursuit, the men of Ai killed 36 Israelites. When the rest of the Israelites heard about the defeat, Their hearts melted. They had no courage. As a side note, most ancient documents from this period of history, if ever mentioned, talk about failed military campaigns. The reason that failures on the battlefield were hardly ever written down was that the leader, who was often the king, was supposed to have been given success by their gods. And if a battle turned out in defeat, it could cause the people, let alone the army, would question the leader as being designated by the gods to rule. But in addition, it could cause the people to question even the gods themselves, because the gods were the ones that supposedly were waging war in the first place. So when the failure on the battlefield is mentioned in the book of Joshua, this is not ancient world propaganda to serve a political agenda. Rather, it's a legit documentation of the events and the conquest of the land of Canaan. Joshua also shows the side of things that was often missing from other ancient world documents, a theological perspective. Meanwhile, Joshua, on the other hand, went before the Ark of the Lord, with his clothes torn, and fell on his face before the Lord. Crying out, Joshua said, "O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" In Joshua 7 verses 10 through 12, the Lord tells Joshua, "Get up, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed the covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put among their belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs on their enemies because they have become devoted to destruction." When the Israelites were defeated in battle, and Joshua came before the Lord, in Joshua's mind, the Lord had not held up his side of the agreement. The Lord was supposed to fight for the Israelites, and when they were routed on the battlefield with 36 of their men killed, it looked as if the Lord did not hold his side of the bargain. But God's response was a correction, telling Joshua that he and the Israelites had not held up their side of the agreement. That is why the Lord tells Joshua that the Israelites has transgressed the covenant. They were no longer faithful to the words of the Lord. However, the Lord did tell them what the issue was. They have stolen and lied, putting some of the things among their own belongings. And he gave them a solution: destroy the devoted things among you. The Lord will tell Joshua to get up and that the people were to consecrate themselves. Joshua was to inform the people that they were to wash their clothes and abstain from any sexual relations until the next day. He then told the Israelites that the reason they lost the battle at Ai was because of the stolen items that were taken during the Battle of Jericho. Therefore, the next morning, Joshua was to use some type of selection process with the Lord, who would pick which tribe stole the items. Then it would be which clan, then the household, and lastly, the man would be selected. Joshua then tells the people, the punishment that will come upon the man, in Joshua 7 verse 15, it says that he who has taken the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord. Notice that the same destruction that happened to all the things and the people of Jericho were burned was to be done to the man and all that he had who stole the items. So early the next morning, Joshua woke up and brought all of the Israelites together. Now, how the Lord would pick or reveal to Joshua who sinned is unknown. It says in Joshua 7 verse 14 that the Lord would take by lot. In the Old Testament and New Testament as well, there was an event called the casting of lots. What that looked like is unknown. It could have been sticks, stones, dice, game pieces, tools of divination, such as bones, or anything else that would have given an either-or result. Today, this would be equivalent to someone flipping a coin and taking the results as the Lord communicating. However, in this case, the Lord told Joshua that he was going to reveal the sinner to Joshua through the casting of lots. There is one other way that scholars believe that it could have been revealed. That would have been the Urim and Thummim, which was to reveal the word of the Lord through the high priest to the leader of the Israelites. When all the Israelites had gathered together before Joshua, lots were taken, cast for all 12 tribes. Again, this is like a person flipping a coin today to get an answer. The tribe of Judah was chosen. Therefore, each clan of the tribe of Judah was brought forward. And out of the clans, the Zerahites were chosen. Then each man from the Zerahites was brought forward. Zabdi was taken from the clan. Therefore, each man and Zabdi's household was brought forward. The lot would be cast to reveal that Achan, the grandson of Zabdi, was the person that sinned. When it was revealed to Joshua that it was Achan who sinned, he came up to the man and said, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. Tell me, what have you done? Do not hide it from me." The word that was used here for the words glory and praise could also mean confession. All praise and worship that is given to God is just confessing who he already is. The same word here in this context, though, is the man to confess what he has done before the Lord. So Achan answered Joshua in chapter 7, verses 20 through 21. "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I took them. See, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." To give an idea of what the value of things that Achan stole, the shekel was a measurement of weight. It was equivalent to about 1/3 an ounce, or 9 to 11 grams. The total cost of 200 shekels of silver would be about $1,600. The gold bar would have been equivalent to about $34,000 today. As for the cloak that was taken, the value isn't known. However, the fact that the Bible calls it a beautiful robe must indicate its enticement to Achan. The robe itself was made in Shinar. This would be the southern Mesopotamian region, which would later become known as Babylon. Although, to us, the value doesn't sound like all that much to be upset about. In this period of history, the value of the gold, silver, and the robe itself would have taken the average worker a lifetime to earn. To put it this way, today, to put it into perspective, if an average person worked 40 years and made the average U.S. salary of $55,640 per year, that would be equivalent to $2,225,600 at the end of their working lifetime. This is why Achan took the gold, silver, and the robe, because if someone today found what he found, they would have become instant millionaires. When Achan confessed, Joshua sent a couple of men to check if he was telling the truth. they would bring back all the spoil that Achan had taken during the Battle of Jericho. Buried inside of his tent, the men dug up the spoil. Then they laid it before Joshua and for all the people of Israel to see. Therefore, Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the gold, the robe, all of his sons and daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and everything that Achan had. Joshua and all the Israelites took everything of Achan and brought him to the valley and asked, "Achan, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And with that, all of the Israelites stoned Achan and all that was his. Along with him were his children and his herds. Achan and his family received the same punishment that the people of Jericho received: destruction. After being stoned to death by the people of Israel, everything else, including the bodies of Achan and his family, was to be burned up. Again, the same consequences as Jericho. When the execution was done, the Israelites piled up a large pile of rocks over Achan and all that he had. In ancient times, the offense of taking anything that was dedicated to the deity was also punished by death. This was done to appease the divine wrath of the people's deity or god that was stolen from. In Old Babylon, one of the first laws that was written in the Code of Hammurabi was the punishment for the stealing of items dedicated to a deity. This punishment was death by burning. Another thing that was common in ancient times was the interdependence of people within a group. What one person would do didn't just affect that person. Rather, it would affect the whole group. Therefore, as a group, they would suffer the consequences of the actions of the individuals. All of the tribes of Israel suffered from the consequences of the actions of one man. They lost the battle against Ai, and other men got killed in action. So it wasn't just God killing Achan and all that he had. It was the results of his actions that his sons and daughters would also have to bear. The actions of the individuals within a group would be borne by the whole group. As a side note, the Bible never mentioned Achan's wife. This is interesting because it could be that his wife died and no longer was around, and that is why she isn't mentioned being stoned along with Achan. Or it could be that when it says Achan's tent and all that he had, his wife was assumed to be part of this category. Either way, but the results were the same. The line of Achan's family died out. Now that the broken covenant with the Lord had been restored, it was time for the Israelites to finish what they had started, destroying the city of Ai. So join us next time in episode 80, The Battle of Ai. Until next time, remember that you are loved, special, and worthwhile. Thanks for listening to the History of the Bible. Let's get the word out by liking, rating, and following the show. This episode was produced by Nikeo Productions. To check out other shows, search for Nikeo Productions wherever you listen to podcasts.